shores of El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Because when truth is your bitch, you got to go there. And tonight we're going to be going there. Tonight we're going some places that other talk shows can't go to. And what is that? That is, that are, that am. Well, first of all, we're going to go to the place of good grammar. Can other talk, I guess they can.
Probably.
20 students now accused in a Long Island case on cheating. And we'll talk with Margaret Gray, who is a journalist. She writes the weekly A Little Bird Told Me column. And her son, Jason J. Delmonico, has been caught, I believe, and she wrote that column, cheating on a test or something. Right, Robert?
I talked to her earlier. She said her son got caught. It was a history test.
It was a history test. Well, we'll talk to her in a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're also online at philhenryshow.com, which is where our video cast occurs every night, Phil TV in HD. We also have thousands and thousands of hours of archived material. The greatest radio show in the history of the planet Earth is right there at philhenryshow.com. And you can get a backstage pass and literally access what we consider to be the single greatest talk radio show that has ever existed.
The one we're doing.
Yes, the one we're doing. Now, be sure to get that backstage pass, because not tomorrow and not next month and not next year, but at some point we will begin to pull a lot of this stuff off of the internet and off of our website and put it into cold storage for a while. So it's not always going to be out there. But right now, every single show we've done since 1999 is available online at philhenryshow.com. It is first-generation, high-quality, first-generation recording of the show, so it's not some scratchy, crappy 15th-generation radio recording bootleg, all right? PhilHenryShow.com, and of course you also get your daily podcast there and so many other things, so get a backstage pass and be a part of it. Now, joining us from Santa Monica, California, in just a moment here is going to be Margaret Gray as we talk about this, well, the idea of cheating and what it means to students and teachers, to the well-being of our, quite frankly, our country when kids do that. This story in Mineola, New York, Margaret, and thank you for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
This story in Mineola, New York is about 20 students who have been accused in this Long Island cheating scandal. The principal is Bernard Kaplan. He's the principal of Great Neck North, and he said that he believed cheating was pervasive.
Well, what he said, Phil, was a little bit more than that. He said that he believed that cheating is widespread across the country, and he said that we are just the first school that stood up to it. I don't know whether that's true or not. I know that on Tuesday, the Nassau County prosecutors accused 13 students from 5 schools of accepting payment or paying others to take SAT and ACT scores between 2008 and 2011. 11 students turned themselves in. 2 are expected to do so next week. This is absolutely a scandal that we have to quash, and we must stop. And frankly, Phil, we should stop at nothing in dealing with it. And
now, these are students. These are arrests, right?
Oh, yes. These students are being arrested because what's happening is they are taking a test that is administered by the state Department of Education or the Education Board, and they are basically engaging in fraud in taking a test that is mandated by the state and engaging in blatant fraudulent activity. They are liable for arrest and for detainment and eventual incarceration. These arrests, by the way, Phil, are coming 2 months after 7 other Nassau County students were accused of cheating. They seem to underscore the district attorney's assertion that security measures for these tests are inadequate. Now, I am one parent. I am one parent who stands with this district attorney and with these schools, and I say that if that's what it takes, if we have to arrest these children, and that's what's going on. These are high school students that are being placed under arrest. then that is exactly what we have to do.
Margaret Gray is joining us from Santa Monica tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Now, according to Kathleen Rice, the Nassau County District Attorney, when this cheating scandal was first reported, the Educational Testing Service said that this was an isolated incident and that the SAT was secure. I'm glad to know now that ETS appreciates this is a larger problem. Is there anything one of the DAs involved in this investigation feels that there needs to be more security? Is there anything to the idea that ETS, this Educational Testing Service, that these people are criminally negligent?
Well, I don't know. It could very well be, because understand, you can have security precautions. You can have security in place that is so inadequate that it does rise to the level of dereliction and negligence. It's much like manslaughter. The crime is not the same, but you may not have intended something to happen. In other words,
yeah. But the worst case scenario takes place.
Yes, and so what you have is this widespread defrauding of the state, this widespread cheating, and this educational testing service that's supposed to be administering these tests, and they're completely inadequate. And I think that's what's going on. Are they criminally negligent? I don't know.
Margaret Gray with us, our number 877-876-PHIL. Now, my hat is off to you, Margaret, because you're not only talking with us about the testing scandal, about the cheating that's going on, about this the criminal cheating that's going on, where we've got students, high school students, that have been arrested cheating on these SATs or enabling others to cheat on these SATs and ACT tests. And I find out now that your middle school son, Jason Jay, has himself been targeted by his school for cheating.
Well, I'll tell you about Jason Jay. It's a little bit different, and here's why. I do not, as I've just indicated, I do not forgive cheating. And I do not think that a student that cheats should be given anything other than in the least case, a very, very strong reprimand, if not suspension, and possible expulsion from the school. And in the very worst case scenario, Phil, I think that what is needed there is arrest.
To be arrested.
To be placed under arrest. Now, the difference with my son, Jason Jay, who, by the way, was caught looking at another boy's paper, and it had to do with a test they were taking in history on the Versailles Treaty, and he had been, I think in one of the quizzes, he had looked at another student's paper and decided that he would meet with the student later on when they took the actual test. And they worked out some sort of ridiculous series of hand signs so that Jason Jay could get these answers.
Well, why doesn't your son... Okay, I guess I interrupted you, but why did these kids... just study.
In my son's case, it's different, Phil, because, as you know, he does an awful lot of commercial acting. He does an awful lot in terms of auditions. He does not have sometimes the time at night to study. And because of that, I went to the school and I said, well, we're talking about something a little bit different here. I abhor cheating. And I, as I said, Phil, I think cheaters should be punished to the nth degree, whatever the law allows. My son is different only insofar as he has this acting career on top of his high school studies.
Well, then you're not forgiving his cheating, are you?
No, I'm not forgiving his cheating. No, what I am saying is it is an understandable effort for him to keep up while he's very busy.
What are you saying that the boy, your son, you've just come out and you've written a very, very good column, and I suggest everybody read it, Margaret, on cheating and how these students must be made to pay. Now, I know that what your son did is not technically a criminal offense.
No, it is not. Not at all.
Okay. But he still cheated. And don't you...
Well, again, you're using a very, very strong word, because what you're saying is now that when Jason Jay becomes a high school student, that this is going to morph somehow into cheating on his SATs or his ACT. I don't think it will, but if it does, I think, again, we have to go back to the very beginning and the fact that this boy has an acting career.
And your son has an acting career as a child actor, but what is that... What does it excuse?
It doesn't excuse anything. It doesn't excuse anything.
All right, well, then how's it different?
It's only different insofar as the boy has to stay up late some nights. When they're shooting late, if he has an audition early in the morning, there needs to be some, in other words, you can't hold him to the same standards, what I'm saying. Children that are involved in these very early careers as actors, or if they are, and it really is the only very demanding profession that children are involved in, and it does earn them a lot of money. And I think you have to look at that. When you've got a child that is earning that much money, as a child actor, I think you have to take a step back and say, now, wait a minute.
Well, you're taking a step back. You, Margaret, as I said, you came out very strongly against students that cheat. You came out very strongly against students that are engaged in this criminal activity. But your son, you're taking a step backward because he's an actor, and it's a double standard, you know.
No, it is not a double standard.
Well, yes, it is, because he is...
No, it is not a double standard, Phil. No, it is not.
Why is it not a double standard?
You know what? I'm looking at the clock. I know you have to come up against the break.
No, why isn't it a double standard?
It is not a double standard because Jason J. Delmonico is an actor who is dealing with other pressures during the day that other children are not. So if you want to call it a double standard and you insist on a double standard, then the standard favors other students, not Jason J. Delmonico.
All right, so we leave this segment, and we're going to take a break here, folks, but we leave the segment, Margaret, with you saying that you're against cheating, but your son's different.
No, we did not. No, that's you trying to make it that. No, what I'm trying to say is I am against cheating. My son, yes, cheated. But let's take a look at what he does that's different from the other students. That's what I'm...
Well, you're taking a lot of time thinking about that. You know,
well, I'm trying to formulate my words, Phil.
All right, just hold on here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Cheating on Long Island and possibly cheating across the country. So says one teacher at the Great Neck North High School. Students caught for cheating on the SATs and the ACTs, and they have been arrested. Margaret Gray talking with us. And we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Eight seven seven 876 Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we have on the line with us Margaret Gray, who has been hard at work writing that. Well, you wrote one column today, Margaret, and you're writing another one tomorrow.
You know, I really did not like the questions about Jason Jay.
Well, no, you don't like the question about your son, and I'm not trying to insult you. As I said, I have a great deal of respect for you. A great deal of respect for you, writing the columns that you wrote. But I am wondering how this works out with your son cheating.
My son, Phil, is not cheating so much as he was forced into a situation by the powers that be and by the way things are to
cheat.
No, he did not cheat. Let me tell you something. He is an actor, Phil, an actor, which puts him a cut above a lot of these students. And I'm not saying that he's better than them, but I am saying he has a different schedule.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL, and we'll see whether or not that stands up to the scrutiny of our listeners, because it sounds like to me it's a double standard. Let's go to the gentleman on line one. Is this Jason?
No, this is Nathan.
Nathan, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
I want to agree with you. It is a double standard. All right. First of all, just because your son has an acting career, it's not a reason for him not to be considered cheating. So many people, or so many young men and women across the United States, across America, have jobs, and some of them are in a single parent home, and sometimes they're relied on to bring in the majority, if not half, not the majority of what, the income for the family. And at the same time, they're going to school and stuff, and having to keep up, their grades.
Well, you're doing a lot of talking there, and I understand what you're saying, but nothing that you have said there really rises to the level of a boy that has a career that brings in six figures a year.
Well, what does that mean?
What I'm saying is, I understand what the man is saying, that there's a lot of kids that have it tough. But my son is an actor. And
just because he's an actor doesn't make him any more special than anybody else that's having to bring in income to the family.
Well,
make him any more special. I'm sorry.
You watch television, you go to films. I would dare say, sir, and I don't know, but I would dare say you spend a fair amount of money on your entertainment, as we all do. So it obviously is something that's important to you and to other Americans. My son is a part of providing that for you. And now let's turn it around. What are you doing for him?
What does that mean? What he's providing this for this man?
Just what I said. All I'm asking is, what are you, Phil, or this gentleman, Nathan, what are you doing for my son?
I pay taxes that support the schools.
Okay. That's not really much. It's not really a lot. And so we are left with, at the end of the day, a boy that is working another job as an actor and also going to school. And I don't see other students doing that.
Whether your son's an actor, whether he works at McDonald's, Burger King,
care.
Whatever job he is, but there are many families across America where it's a single parent home, and I know this because I've had friends that were in that type of situation where they're in a single family home, and they bring in half, if not the majority, of the income for the family. And,
if my son was in that family, he would be bringing in all the income.
Okay, the cheating that has nothing to do with
right. Because what you're doing, Margaret, is you're saying that your son, because he makes a lot of money, him cheating on his tests is somehow something we can overlook. If these students that were caught in the SAT scandal were also actors, okay?
Yes.
Would they be excused?
Well, first of all, Phil, I doubt very much if they are. They live in where? Great Neck, New York. I don't think there's a lot of child actors out there. I do know there are a lot of stage actors in New York, but most of the child actors live in Los Angeles or California.
And no, but just for the sake of argument, what if they were also actors?
Well, if they were also actors, you've got to take that into consideration. We have to protect our actors and actresses.
We have to protect our actors and actresses, even if they're cheating.
I don't consider that cheating. I don't know how else to explain it to you. It's not cheating. It's survival for them. It's cheating for these other kids. Yes.
Okay. Hold on.
For our young actors.
All right. I got to take a break, sir. But I appreciate your call. Our number is 877-876 Phil. As we talk here with Margaret Gray. And Margaret, I just, again, I don't want to appear as if I'm being unfair. I know I said that you are engaged in a double standard here,
Well, Phil, I don't see it. What you don't understand is, if it is a double standard, Jason J. Delmonico is carrying a very, very big weight on his back. He's carrying the weight of the other students, all right, so that the other students can engage in studying, and they can get great test scores, and they can do all of these wonderful things, while he is out till 8 or 9 o'clock at night on a TV shoot or on a commercial shoot. So those students are really benefiting from Jason J. Delmonico. And the
All right, I had to again, cut her off there. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're talking with Margaret Gray about her son and the testing that goes on and the cheating that has gone on. Only in her son's case, it's okay. He's an actor. The Phil Hendry
Phil
Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray on the line with us. Margaret, I'm going to just come out and say this. It sounds to me like you say that your son is, it's okay for your son to cheat.
Phil, it's only, I don't call it cheating. I call it survival again, all right? And it's only okay because of the very unusual place that he has in our society. He is a child actor. He's involved in an extremely competitive and very, very frustrating and very pressure-packed profession as a very young person. And naturally, he's going to try to survive any way that he can. Now, most of these kids that are cheating deserve jail. There's no question. The ones in New York, I think they deserve worse than jail. I think they deserve not only jail, but I think it should extend into their adult years. That is the betrayal of trust. My son was cheating, and I think what's unfortunate, you bringing up my son. I wrote two very good columns. These are wonderful articles against students cheating, and I think it's unfair of you to bring up my son.
And well, I'm going to bring your son up. If you're telling me that your son got caught cheating, which you did say, I mean, I don't know if you used the word cheating.
I did not use the word cheating.
All right, if you use the word survival, but you want to gloss that over.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not glossing it over. I'm saying, let's talk turkey. Let's talk serious. I wrote two great Pulitzer Prize-worthy articles about students cheating. And you want to bring up my son, Jason J. Delmonico, and this, excuse my language, this chicken crap, where he looked at some kid's paper to get the answer to a question on the Versailles Treaty. You know, get real, will you, Phil? You remember the lady on YouTube when she was talking to the people that were rioting? She said, get real, black people. Get it real. Well, that's what I'm saying to you. And I'm saying...
Well, I am getting it real, Margaret, you know.
And I am saying, let's take into consideration what Jason J. Delmonico does for a living. He's an actor. An actor.
877-876-PHIL. Actor. I know what an actor is. I know they're long hours, but I also know that they have... that they have young actors who have tutors on set. And
yes, they do have tutors on set, and that's sometimes enough, and sometimes it isn't, and sometimes they're getting in the way.
877-876-PHIL is the number. Here is Talon on the Phil Hendry Show. Talon, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think one of the major problems with the world that we live in today is that people do not take responsibility for...
Are we going to be wrapping up soon, I think, yeah.
For themselves, for their children, specifically in this case. I don't think it matters that...
Okay. Hold on. Talon, would you hold on for a minute? Margaret, would you please pay attention to the caller?
I'm sorry. Frank and I were going out.
Okay, but pay attention to the caller. The gentleman's saying something. I think it's worthy. Go ahead, Talon.
Yeah. In this case in particular, I don't think it matters that the kid is an actor. I don't know. How old is your son?
My son's 14. All right.
14.
So he's really hitting, he's hitting a very important age, yeah.
Okay. Well, I was 14. I'm from a small town in Montana. I pretty much all we have to do here is play sports. We do lots of extracurricular activities.
And study. And
all
and
of them,
study.
From football to basketball to track, there's always something going on.
But you also could study. You had time to study. My son, in other words, you weren't going to the soundstage to do another 4 hours on a one-camera shoot.
No.
But he's saying that he had other things to do, though. You had other activities, right, Talon? You had...
Phil, I'm not talking about a volleyball tournament. God.
I know you're not, but it's the same if a kid has time to study. You can make time to study no matter what. Cheating is cheating. No matter what your circumstance is, there's no exception to that.
Okay. Well, Talon, have you ever been in a Presidium four-camera shoot for a comedy? No.
No,
have you ever been on location? Have you ever been on location in a one-camera shoot? No, you haven't. Have you ever discovered, as my son did, when he was out at the beach on a one-camera shoot and transportation left for a few hours, and my son discovered that he had diarrhea, and he needed to get home. Has that ever happened to you?
Diarrhea? Yeah.
I think they do, but I don't think they're miles and miles from home. And
well, don't they have a nurse on set or somebody that they can call?
It's very embarrassing, Phil.
You know something? This man is talking. I just don't hear reality being addressed here. You know
what reality do you need addressed? My son is an actor. An actor. Are you there, Talon? You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, I'm here.
It sounds like you should be there. And I can understand how you're stunned and how it's difficult for you to respond to that because that's a big profession. He's an actor.
Okay, he's an actor. So what if he's an actor?
He's an actor. Personally, I think actors are overrated anyways.
Is that right?
I agree.
You agree. You're going to be doing... I'd like you to know something. Mr. Hendry's going to be doing a Modern Family episode, and Mr. Hendry agrees that they're overpaid. I hope the producers of the show are listening, Phil.
Well, I don't think that... The great ones are not overpaid, but the guys like your... Excuse me, Margaret. Your son... And people like that, yeah, they are overpaid.
How dare you?
This is the point I was trying to make.
Right.
Excuse me, Margaret. I think you're being an idiot, frankly, in not taking responsibility for the actions of your son. And
I want to ask you guys, are both of you smoking? Seriously, Phil, do you get high before you go on the air?
Are you serious? No, I do not.
Well, all right, I'll ask this gentleman, because I expect what I'm hearing from you guys, I would expect out of the mouths of people that are doing hash oil.
All right, listen, Talon, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Now, I'm not going to be called a drug user. Do you understand?
I'm kidding, Phil.
I know you're kidding, but you're not funny, and I won't be called a drug user. I won't have it intimated that I'm a drug user, because I'm not, and I certainly don't get high before I go on the air.
I was kidding to make a point with your audience that you are out of touch with reality if you don't think that your audience, with this gentleman notwithstanding, doesn't understand that a young actor such as my son, Frank Tucker,
Margaret, you're the guest, okay?
Hold on.
How you doing, young man?
I'm good, Frank. How's it going?
Well, I'm better than Custer.
Well, your son, do you believe that your son in cheating on that test, do you believe your son was cheating and should not be and should be subject to the same penalties and the same punishments that other students are subject to?
Well, I think Margaret has got a point. You know, he's talking about the idea that Jason J. Delmonico cheated on a test. I don't think she wants to cheat, but she has to cheat because she's under a lot of pressure, just like Margaret was telling you, you know, and he...
I've got to tell my audience that Mr. Gray suffers from something called gender confusion. It is the result of a infection that is a dormant sort of virus, but nonetheless... Go ahead, Frank.
I don't know what are you talking about?
Just go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Gender confusion.
Please finish what you were saying. We've got to get to the break.
All right. Well, I said that what Margaret was saying, I think you have to understand, he's looking at it from the standpoint that Jason J. Delmonico is working two jobs. Jason J. is going on set to be an actor, and then she goes to school, and the pressures involved in being an actor... once she gets to school and she doesn't have the answer to a test question, she's naturally going to look at the other kid's paper. Is that cheating or is that survival? I have to agree with my wife when he says that it's survival. I don't like cheating any more than you do, Phil. I don't like the idea that my son, and I love her, she's the only son I have, would resort to that. But I also understand that she's a very good actor and is, and she's moving up the ranks. And
well, that's good, and congratulations to him. You know, I understand that.
Right, and I love my wife. You know, he's my wife. I got to back my wife's play. And if my wife comes on the show and he tells you that our son, Jason J. Delmonico, she is not cheating, she's just, you know, surviving, then I have to agree with him that that's what she's doing. My son.
Right.
That's what she's doing. She's surviving.
Okay. Thanks, Frank. If you get Margaret back on the line. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. We'll take a break here. I apologize for that. We're going to be talking more with Margaret Gray when we come back. And your phone calls, 877-876-7445, talking about cheating on tests and whether or not cheating on tests for the students in Great Neck, New York, is a criminal thing. But for a kid like Jason J. Delmonico, who's an actor, it's understandable survival. The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray, who writes the column A Little Bird Told Me, it's in 150 newspapers nationwide, and wrote a couple of very good columns, one this morning and yesterday morning, concerning the cheating that's been going on. This story breaking in Long Island, Great Neck North High School, where students have been arrested for cheating on SAT and ACT exams, or in the cases of not taking the test themselves, students have been arrested who have helped other students cheat. And, Margaret, you wrote two very good columns, but you're at odds with a lot of people. And you said to me you think that...
I don't think I'm at odds with the mass of people who understand the pressures that young kids are under.
Well, I when you say that your son is an actor and therefore you in your article, and let me quote, okay, because it's a great article. Allowing a student to cheat and not addressing the problem here and now, even if it means incarceration for the young person, ensures that that person goes through life dishonest, a rabble, a part of the great unwashed, someone that we would not be proud to call our own. Now that's beautiful writing.
Thank you. I worked very hard on that.
Why do you all of a sudden forget your own words when it comes to your son?
He's not part of those. The ones I was talking about are the ones in New York. He's not one of those. My son is, boy, you really don't get it, do you? He's an actor. And
he's an actor, okay? It's a job. It's a big money job, but it's a job. Let me go to a phone call here. We have on the line Meredith. Meredith, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hello, everybody. Margaret,
hi.
Hello.
Yes. I kind of want to address two things. One, that the sense of entitlement that you feel your son has because he's an actor is almost repulsive. To somehow imply that he is
above, I don't understand that.
What's not to understand? You're basically implying
kidding?
That because he's an actor, he's above the law and he's above everybody else and he's better than everybody else and he's able to do whatever he wants. I mean, saying that he didn't
look
cheat.
What
is
actors,
like saying,
well, look
like
what
saying
our actors
only, it's like saying someone's only a little bit pregnant. He cheated.
I don't think that that's really the case. Look what our actors provide. They
yeah,
have
and
very high
that,
pressure.
You asked another caller, what have we done for your son? Well, guess what?
Well,
we
absolutely.
Support your son by we support your son by watching his shows, by going to his movies. That's how we support him. And I'll tell you what. If we think that he's entitled, we're not going to support him, and especially if we think that his parents are crazy.
Well, let me say this.
I don't want you to think I'm crazy. Being an actor is a popularity contest, and the things that you're saying are making your son not popular at all.
I think I'm giving you the reality. First of all, you need to understand the high pressure that my son endures. You could go to see one of his movies 6 times, and it wouldn't even come close to paying for what he's put through.
Okay.
That's number one.
To imply
number two,
that because your son has to stand in front of a camera for hours is any more important than a person that has to go to school and work to help put food on his family's table is absolutely asinine. That is asinine.
Well, wait a minute. Wait. How much do they get paid? Well,
it doesn't matter.
I don't understand
how much they get paid. They put in the same
amount. Well, it certainly does.
Doesn't
it matter?
It does
doesn't
not.
It matter? Well, let me ask you this. It means if you can pay someone more money, that means a lot of people are going to see him, which means he's more important than the person that doesn't make that much money.
Well,
exactly
now, wait a minute.
Telling you. That's exactly what I just got through saying. That you
right. In other words, he is more important.
Of course.
My son,
well,
no. You said
sense.
That my son is entitled because he won the popularity contest that you're talking about. And
well,
number two...
His popularity is going to, if people find out that he feels entitled...
Have you done a reality check? Have you done a gut check? Are you jealous? Let's do a gut check. Are you jealous?
I'm totally jealous. It's amazing. It's amazing how jealous I am.
Well, I know you're being sarcastic, but truly, I think you are.
What the hell do
you
have to be jealous of? He has a father who can't tell the difference between male and female, and a mother that has
no
sense of place of reality.
You know, making fun of a man's dementia, boy, you really sunk to a new low, didn't you?
Yes, I'm the
You know one. What? That's not what the lady is not trying to do anything other than point out something. I think it's very obvious, Margaret.
All night long, Phil, you've been taking the side of these callers, and my question for you is, are you not an actor?
I'm not an actor like your son every day, going out every day, doing a job, you know.
Didn't you just make a point of telling everyone you're going to be on Modern Family?
I'm not sitting here saying it makes me better than anybody.
Right.
I'm saying, as a matter of fact, I'm not saying anything. I said, hey, I hope you watch. It'll be great if you do. If you don't, you know, whatever. I mean, I just want my listeners to know, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. There you are being very, very humble now. I bet you think your stuff doesn't smell. I bet you think when you sit down on the toilet in the morning that...
You know what? Why don't we just clean it up a little bit here and talk about what it is we're talking about. Your son cheated on a test. Your son was caught. Your son was reprimanded. This article that you wrote, which is a great article... You don't hold your son to the same standard, period.
I hold my son to the same standard. Everyone else holds him to a lower standard. And I think it's a crime. Just like this woman here, she thinks my son should grovel. Grovel
absolutely
like a pig.
Absolutely not.
No.
But I do certainly think that he needs
to
take responsibility for what he's done.
Absolutely. All right, listen, Meredith, thank you. Very good call. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over here to Luke on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Luke. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I agree with the last lady. I just don't see the difference of the pressure coming from, say, a child actor, regardless of how much money he makes, to anybody else in a situation like she said, someone helping pay for or helping bring in money for the family, or say somebody who's taking care of a family member.
I can give you an example of Judy Garland. She was 15 years old when she did The Wizard of Oz. She was already a pill head. Yeah.
Hey, how about
okay,
you?
That's very...
Let the man finish. How about someone who has to take care of a dying family member or someone terminally ill? What's the difference? Maybe your son makes more money. That has no, like, that doesn't
matter. Why does he make more money? I don't know. Why does he make?
Money aside, everybody has their own trials, tribulations, things they have to do, people they have to care for. What's the difference? You're saying money is the only difference? Because that's really sad.
Why does he make more money then?
It's not about how much money he makes. It's about that everyone has obligations. Everyone has.
I don't understand. You can help me with something. You can help me with this. Your name is what?
His name's Luke.
Luke. It's a beautiful name. It's a biblical name, Luke. And it means you are a wise man. So help me with this. Why would my son make more money if he wasn't more important? I don't understand what... What are you people
I'm not saying. Let me say this, okay? This isn't geared towards your son. But lots of evil, bad people make lots of money, and that doesn't make them any better.
The question is, why do they? Because we want to pay them. And why do we want to pay them? Because they do something that we like. They do something we like. They act, or they—I don't know what they do. And in the case of Jason J. Delmonico...
You know, we're talking about students cheating on a test. We're getting way far afield here. We're talking about, my son makes more money, he must be better. you are using a standard of goodness or of human quality that we are taught from an early age. It's not how you size people up.
You may be taught that from an early age, Phil, and I am too. But when my son makes more money than one of the fathers I was talking to at Jason's school, this guy makes less money than my own son. Can you believe that?
What does that matter?
It
doesn't mean anything.
What it meant? Wouldn't you be embarrassed? Wouldn't you be embarrassed?
No, I wouldn't be embarrassed.
Some punk here?
What are you whispering for?
I don't want to shout it.
You know, all we have to do is turn our radios up and we can hear you.
Well, I don't want to shout the fact that this guy, you know.
There's nothing wrong with making less money than anyone. The only problem is that you're putting your son on a pedestal because he makes more money, and you think that he should be exemplified from the things that all these other people trying to enforce that other people should be arrested for.
You mean exemplified?
We know what he means. Luke, thank you, buddy. You made a very good point, Luke. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much, sir. I got to take a break here. I want to get another call in. We don't have time. Okay.
Well, are you getting another call in? Or are you taking a break? I mean, you're very. How much do you make, Phil? You don't make enough, do you? Because you're confused. And the
877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with Margaret Gray on her students cheating and how much money her son makes, which means he's exempt from being accused of it.
Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere, everywhere. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we have with us Margaret Gray on the line talking about a very good series of columns that she wrote concerning cheating back east. And that's cheating as in high school students cheating, as in cheating on SATs and ACTs, as in being caught, as in being arrested. And a very great series of articles. The dichotomy here, I think, and I know you don't agree, Margaret, is that you have your own son who was caught cheating, a 14-year-old, but nonetheless caught cheating. He's an actor, and that kind of goes beyond the equation, you know. It's in other words, it sort of goes to a place where we're talking student, and then all of a sudden my son's an actor and he's not held to the same standard.
Well, Phil, people react to the word actor. They react negatively to the word actor. The first thing they think of is entitled. They think of money. That young lady that I was talking to, she said she wasn't jealous, but I think that plays a factor in many of the mothers who are saying, well, my child should be, your child's an actor, you think your child is all this. Well, I'm sorry if my child's an actor and yours isn't.
Do you really think that there's that kind of jealousy going on? You know.
Well, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because how would you not be jealous of the fact that my son goes out and makes a very good living? Now, his father, my husband Frank, you know Phil, is a very well-off, is a very successful attorney, and produced a lot of television as well. So Frank is different. We don't really need Jay's money. Nonetheless, the boy puts a lot of pressure on himself. He wants to be the best. I remember the other morning we were taking him out to an audition he was doing for just a regular commercial. It was for Burger King, I think. And I remember I asked him something simple like, do you have your script? And he said, would you shut your mouth? Now, ordinarily, you would slap a child for saying that. But I looked at him and I said, I know you're under pressure. And he said, he used a profanity.
And would you shut your mouth? And he used a profanity.
Hold on, I'm not done yet, Phil. He used a profanity. He told me to go to so-and-so. And he said, yes, I have my script. And then he did something that I have to tell you I'm very proud of him for. He had the courage to express his feelings, because that's what you need in acting. And he said something, and then he referred to me as an old whore. And most parents would be upset.
You got to be kidding.
No, hold on, Phil, please. Most women would be upset. I was proud of him.
You were proud of him because he had the emotion to...
Would you please let me finish, Phil? Yes, as an actor, you need to be in the moment. And he said, you old whore. You sad old whore. And he just got into the car. At that moment, I knew he had crossed a threshold and was really in the moment and was authentic with his feelings.
He called you, his mother, an old whore, and you were proud of him. I think there was a threshold crossed. I think there was a threshold of sanity.
I would expect you to say something like that, Phil. And I would expect a lot of non-professionals that are listening to you tonight to say the same thing. You don't really get it because you don't live in that world.
I may not live in that world, Margaret, and I hope I never do, because that's an unbelievable and unconscionable thing for a child to call his mother and for you, the mother, to let him get away with. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
I'm not letting him get away with anything. I expected it, and I was proud of it.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here is, I think, Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, sir.
Saying that this particular show, I'm a long time listener, and this right here is beneath you. I mean, this woman right here, she's ridiculous. She sounds like she's medicated. Are you medicated, Margaret?
You don't need to insult me.
A lot of medication right now, and it goes past just your son, man.
Really? Are you taking your medication? Really? Why did I just say that about you?
It goes all the way. You know what you are, Margaret? You're an enabler. You enable him to do these things. You understand that?
You don't understand. You don't understand the world that he's living in.
Stop popping the pills for just one day and listen, Margaret.
You see, all you know how to do is...
You're enabling him.
You insult. You just insult.
Hold on. You guys are not listening. Hold on. You guys are not listening to each other. Hold on. We can't have this. Okay?
He's insulting a woman. It's easy for him to insult a woman. He insults women.
All right. Let the man finish what he's saying.
It's only a matter of time before he's popping her up against her head, you know? That's the problem with our youth now, Phil, you know? We let them get away with this stuff, and then before
you... Are you afraid my son's more successful than you? How much do you make a year? Let's get down to it.
You don't have to ask every...
Successful, ma'am. It's about you enabling him to do these things, okay? He might be the most successful, smartest kid in the school, okay?
And that doesn't give him to the be
right
successful
to go out and commit a crime, because that's what it is. You know what? You know he committed a crime, don't you?
Oh, he looked at another kid's paper.
You know
it's not a crime.
He committed a crime.
He
did.
Yes, he did. You can't cheat.
I can tell you this much. Do you know? Do you understand? Do you understand how much money he makes a year? Do you know how much money my son makes a year?
Margaret, you don't know how much money I make.
I can guess.
Hello.
I can get
Margaret.
And I don't think you make as much as my son.
Has your son ever attacked you, Margaret?
No, he has not. I was proud of him when he called me an old whore. And you know why? Because that's what you have to do.
Has your son ever physically attacked you?
No, he has not. And if he did, I'd kill him.
Prescription medication.
Do you?
Do you take prescription medication, Margaret?
Have you been in speech therapy? Have you been in speech therapy? Because it sounds like you need it.
No, I don't take prescription medication. And I think that...
No, have you been in speech therapy?
You're lying right now. You're lying
right now. Because right now, you are tripping over your thick tongue.
Okay, you guys. I mean, come on.
No, this man isn't... This guy gets his kicks beating up on women. I can tell. I know the type.
It's only a matter of time, Phil, before this kid, he weasels his way through life.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think so because.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I do think so because if he calls you an old whore and you're proud of him.
Do you understand what it is that actors do? They have to live in the moment.
It's only a matter of time. That kid is a time bomb.
That's what I think of you.
He's a time bomb, Margaret. Okay? And that bomb is going to blow up in your face one day.
If he's a time bomb, I hope he's sitting in a car in front of your house when it goes off.
He's going to blow up in your face one day. And you know what? He's going to be so deep in cocaine that he's going to snort up all of that little money that he's making right now that you're so proud of. It's going to go up his nose, and then he's going to be busting you in your head for his next...
Well, you seem to know a lot about it. You seem to know an awful lot about it. You know a lot about it. Maybe
get his next...
Take lessons from you.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. You know, and I don't blame people for getting riled up.
People are riled up, Phil, because they don't have the guts to admit they're jealous. Number one, that man was talking about my son doing cocaine, and he was talking about it with such familiarity. I think that's what he does. And you know what? This proves more than anything that there is jealousy. Why get angry at me? Why not just discuss this with me?
Well, first of all, Margaret, you're saying some pretty explosive things. You're saying that the kid said, you old whore, and then got in the car. That pisses people off. Any child that talks to an adult like that. And when you say that you're proud of him, you represent to a lot of us what is wrong with our country. And that...
What is wrong with our country?
That's exactly right. That we have a generation and maybe two generations of parents that are so bad at parenting that they ought to be arrested. 877-876-PHIL, and let's go to Rocky. Rocky, hi, you're on the... Let's get Rocky here. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, Rocky, with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
All right, how you doing, Dr. Henry?
Good. Good.
All right, first off, let me say that I am a
Dr. Henry.
Uh-huh.
I am a student at a university. I don't know how it is in universities or in high schools, but I know that at universities, there's a strict rule against cheating of any kind. If you're caught giving aid to a student on a homework assignment, you'll be written up and you could get suspended. It doesn't matter who you are, how much you make, or you know what you did before you went to college. It doesn't matter. You know, I go to sit in classes alongside veterans, and who I believe are way more important than a movie actor who is sitting there protecting.
Oh God.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on for just a moment. Rocky, hold on for a moment. Ms. Gray, if you're going to use the bathroom, do you have to...
I use the bathroom. Is that... No, I'm not allowed to do that.
I can hear the toilet flushing, so maybe what you can do is keep it, you know, close the door. Go ahead, sir.
All right. First off, you said your son makes six figures.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Easy. Easy.
Okay.
Easy. Yeah.
He makes more than... A lot of people. He makes more than a lot of people, like, you know, like I said,
exactly.
Veterans. Like,
exactly.
Like police officers, firemen.
Yeah, he does.
And you also
he
said
does.
He's more important than most of those people. So is he more important than a police officer? Is he more
I don't want to... I, he makes more money, so he must be...
But you know that that's asinine to say that.
He makes more money? Why does he get paid more money? I look at this very straight on. If you pay him more money, he must be more valuable. Doesn't it stand to reason?
You know what it stands to reason? It stands to reason that as a society, maybe we got our values so far up our rear ends, we don't know what we're doing, that we pay movie actors more than fire people, you know?
All right, but it's not Jason J. Delmonico's fault. It's not his fault.
His name is. He is another person on the TV screen. It doesn't matter what he does.
He's Jason J. Delmonico. Remember that name. Someday you're going to be paying money to go see him.
I highly doubt it.
I'm sorry, but
I'd rather pay money to go watch.
Paying money. You'll stand in line. You'll stand in line to get my son's autograph. Someday.
The only person I've ever...
What is with the toilet flushing?
I'm doing some...
Okay, that has nothing
I beg
to
your pardon?
Your son's cheating.
I'm doing some housework, Phil.
What did he do? He looked on someone else's paper during a test.
He looked on a kid's paper and got a test on a question, the Versailles Treaty, which is as boring a topic as I've ever heard.
Oh, okay, that's it. It's boring. Your son, God, unreal.
Phil, do you understand that in our society,
you know how boring that is?
Why is the toilet flushing all the time?
I'm scrubbing it.
Maybe so. She doesn't have to hear. Maybe she doesn't have to hear what we're saying.
Maybe you're, yeah, exactly, you know.
No, I'm not doing that at all.
All right, then let me make this point. For all of the times that we have had...
Oh, my God, I'm going to play fair money on the next one.
So you are...
No, I am not. I'm trying to clean a toilet. It's filthy.
What were you going to say, Rocky?
I don't know. I am so flustered, you know. I'm a freshman at a college, and I can't see. No, I will tell you...
All right. You know something, lady? You're really pissed. Hold on for a second, Rocky. You're really starting to piss me off now. You're really starting to piss me off. You got...
Oh, I'm pissing you off.
You got that toilet flushing left and right, and you're telling me you're cleaning it at whatever time of night it is, about, 11:15, 11:20 at night. and it just so happens it's being flushed as I'm trying to say something, or my caller is. We'll be back with Margaret Gray, our number 877-876-PHIL, as we discuss students that cheat. A bunch of them have been arrested back east for cheating on SATs. Ms. Gray, who's written a very good column on this, her own son was caught cheating, but she thinks because the kid's an actor, he gets a pass. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be right back and talk a little bit more about...
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Calling an old whore.
You're telling me the kid's in the moment and he's calling you an old whore, and you applaud him for that because actors need to be in the moment. I'm telling you that that is a disrespectful thing to say.
Phil, forgive me, but just because you have a little bit of interest from people in motion pictures and you've done a little acting gig here and there, you're far from the experienced actor that J. Delmonico is. Now,
Jason J. Delmonico is she's a very experienced actor, Phil. It means nothing.
Frank, give me the phone back, and don't you ever grab a telephone away from me again. Don't ever grab a phone away from me again. I was saying, Phil, I know that you have done television and so forth. Jason J. Delmonico has been at it for a lot of years. He is what we call in the business a real old-timer, and he's 14. So when my son calls me an old, tired whore, I do feel pride in that the honesty is there.
877-876-PHIL. I won't even comment. You know, sometimes I'm so stunned by some of these things, it just blows my mind, you know. And
well, Phil, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
Let me get to a caller, and we can continue discussing this. I have a gentleman here on line 7. I forgot your name, sir. Is it David?
David.
You're an actor,
yeah.
I know.
It's David.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Go ahead. What is your comment?
Okay. Acting in the moment is something that is developed over time. You have method actors. You have naturals, if you will. Spencer Tracy was known as a natural. Harrison Ford is a natural. But he's also the carpenter. And very simply, you do as little as you need to. Okay, especially when it comes to the camera, because it catches everything. On stage, you do very big, so everything is very big. Okay, now, if you're in the moment and you're just addressed, well, if you're in the moment and you're being addressed in the moment in a proper way, you don't throw back profanity, which has nothing to do with the moment. It shows that there's no manners in the real world. As an actor, you also have to deal with business. You have to meet a producer, meet a director, deal with people off set, on set. You have to be a real person as well. And at 14 years old, you haven't really been able to experience too much of life to know what every kind of facet of life is and how a person is. A good actor is an observer. That means they have to observe a lot and be a lot. And a really good actor.
Phil, are you listening to this, Phil?
Am I listening to it?
Because they have.
I'm listening to the man.
By observing other people doing their work. But they don't.
This
do
is
that,
very good.
Okay?
Well, I'm asking Mr. Hendry if he's listening to you because it's very good.
Of course I'm listening to him. Are you listening to him?
What do I need to listen to him? My son's an actor. He already knows this.
He's talking about your son, and he's talking about the.
My son is. What are you. Are you talking to me, sir? Is that what.
What I'm saying is it's an observation, purely an observation. I don't know you from a hole in the wall. I don't know your son. It doesn't matter. The fact is that...
He was very much in the moment when he said, you tired old whore.
Well, that's not in the moment unless there was a script or there was a reason for him to say it. If you were in a room where you were doing a script with him and you were bouncing it off him, but at 14, it'd be an interesting part. How many 14-year-olds have that part that they have that say something like that. That would be a special, very difficult, challenging thing to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that is not something that is necessary sitting with you in a car, as I heard, if I heard that correctly, while you're addressing him in a normal sense, because then it shows that he doesn't have manners to be in the moment, because the moment that you were in was not requiring that kind of discussion.
You're getting too... I don't get it. You're way far out. You're getting too far out.
No, he's not. No, he's... No, he's not. He's saying...
You're above me, sir, with all due respect.
Because
my son was a method... He was
in
the... He did the method... Uh-huh. Well, I have manners.
Manners that apply to what? When in the situation, you are still an individual human being. There's no script in front of you. There's no casting director sitting there. There's nobody to watch you go off and call someone those things. It is
we had just come out of an audition, and Jason Jay looked at a man who was sitting on a bench, and he said, "Would you look at the queer?" And I was shocked. I was shocked, but then I thought, you know what? That's observation. Just exactly what you're talking about.
Your son is got a dirty little mouth on him, and he ought to be belted.
Exactly, because he did.
Is that right?
Could he have said, "Mom, no, look at that guy there. Does he strike you funny? Did you see the way he holds his wrist?
What?
Or did you see the way he did?"
There's
something?
No way you're going to get hired with a bunch of.
Why would you just?
You're not going to get hired with a bunch of mishmash like that.
No, why would he bother?
Mealy mouth.
Vulgar approaches just to talk to you. He's showing how tough he is. Why?
Right.
I have to wonder where he learned it.
I've heard about enough of this as I'm going to stand. My son is a great. He's a great actor. He called me a dirty old whore because that's where he was in the moment. Just like Spencer Tracy.
No, not like Spencer Tracy at all, no. Listen, I got to take a break, sir. I appreciate your call very much, David. Thank you. And we will take a break here. The man is trying to make a very good point with you, and it's simply this. There are manners. There is the way a young person should talk to an adult. And if he's going to be in the quote-unquote moment, he's doing that professionally. He's on a soundstage. He's on a stage. He's in front of a camera. He's in front of an audience. Not as he's sitting in the car expressing an honest opinion about his mother.
You don't get it, Phil. That's the problem with you. You're jealous. That's it. You're jealous of his Burger King commercial.
No. That's right. I want to be in his Burger King commercial.
Oh, shut up.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And Margaret Gray for our final segment here tonight on the cheating scandal that has erupted back east at Great Neck North High School. The principal there has said it happens all across the country. We're the first school to stand up to it. The DA is in no mood to screw around. They've placed students under arrest. It's quite a dirty thing. And in the middle of this, Margaret, we're talking about your son cheating and you saying that...
He was surviving. I wish you'd... Phil, you can say it a million times. He didn't cheat.
All right, he didn't cheat. He was surviving. He didn't cheat. He was... And this is because he's an actor. All right, 877-876-PHIL.
He's a very good actor, too.
877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Turner is going to join us here in just a moment to discuss this further. Let's go to Josh. Hi, Josh. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Basically, I was I had a call.
Hello, Josh.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, dear?
I'm pretty good. I was calling to say I truly think what your son has is a talent. And,
he certainly does.
It's a very awesome feeling to do something you love and in the process make other people happy. But at the same time, I truly do not believe that elevates him above the people who enjoy what he does. See, I play music for a living, but when I'm playing somewhere, that doesn't make me better than them. If anything, we are servants of them. We are supposed to make them happy. And I truly do not agree with what you're saying. He is not elevated above anybody. Nobody on this earth is better than anybody else. I don't care who you are.
Can I ask you something, Josh? Can I ask you something? Jason Jay is right here. Jason, this man's a musician, honey. Would you talk to him?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Hello?
I want to put my son on the phone to talk to you. Jason, come here.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, I'm good. My mom asked me to talk to you.
Okay.
So,
basically, my thing, I told her, you know, what you do for a living, that's great. I commend you for it, and
I do a lot of acting and everything. I did a couple of commercials.
Wonderful. And I'm really, truly happy, and, like, it's really awesome what you're doing. But what she's
Thanks.
Saying to everyone else is that somehow elevates you above anybody. Like, I just do not agree with that. That is 110% wrong.
Well,
Can I
tell you something?
Sure.
I got a whole collection of Nickelback and Linkin Park CDs from Charlize Theron. Do you know who she is?
I have the faintest idea.
she was in Monster. She got an Academy Award.
Okay.
She gave me a bunch of CDs and stuff. I also worked I worked with like Albert Brooks and everything.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's great, and, like, and I'm not downing what you do, and I'm not putting nobody down, but my whole thing
I
really, truly have a problem when other people say they are better than someone else. That is not
No, I mean, well, I'm not really saying that. I'm not really saying that, but I...
No, you're not.
You got to be in the moment, so I called my mom, and I probably shouldn't have, but I told my mom that she was a tired old whore.
Well,
because
and here's the thing. That's not even, I don't care if you're an actor. I don't care if you're a host
sort of
on the side of the street. You're not supposed to do that. That
well, she sort of looked like one, I mean.
There's not even an excuse you can make. And if my son said that to me, that would crush me. You got to.
Well, I mean.
I don't care. If my son made a
people tell me that I'm allowed to.
Wait a minute. Jason, this is Phil Hendry.
Who?
Phil Hendry. I was talking to your mom on the air.
Okay.
What do you mean you're allowed to?
Well, when I'm on the set, you know, and I'm talking to people like I know.
Are you kidding me?
Like French Stewart, you know, who was on Third Rock from the Sun. I told him I thought he looked like a jackass, and he's all, ha ha. He thought it was funny.
Well,
so you're naming all these actors.
Yeah. And John Lithgow, same thing. I said, hey, you look like a jerk. He's all, yay, you know.
Well, what John makes you better than everyone else where you can judge them? That's my whole
thing. A couple of directors have told me that I'm probably going to be
I don't care what anybody tells
really
me.
Really famous.
You are not better than no one else, and you have no
but
right
I'm,
to put anyone else
But I'm
going to
be famous. I'm going to be.
Especially your mother.
I'm going to be way more famous than a lot of them.
So what?
That doesn't make a difference. You can't take money and fame into heaven, dude. Like, what? Like, really?
What?
That is nothing.
Well, I mean, I don't really care about that right now because I'm young and I don't want to be all religious
I'm
and stuff.
I'm young, too, but you know what? Your family and your friends,
mean,
that's all you got throughout your life. Why
dude,
would you start
like,
putting people down? What? Like,
because they think I'm funny. And
you know what, man? You're calling your mother a whore. And
that's not funny.
Talking I thought it was.
Oh, really?
Let me talk to your mom again. Let me talk to your mom again, okay?
What's she talking
about?
What?
You know, we're not making any headway with your son here, okay?
Are you listening to him, or are you trying to overtalk him?
No, we're listening to him to say he enjoys and thinks it's funny to call you an old whore.
Then what you're doing is you're judging. Okay, you're judging
him.
You shouldn't be judging.
I'm sitting there telling him.
I can tell.
I'm not judging him. I have a child of my own, and it would crush him. Crush me to hear him say something like that to me. Like
he's not going to call you an old whore because you're a man.
It doesn't
isn't that
matter.
Right,
if my kids say anything that derogatory towards me, still, it's not right. And I'm not judging you or
right.
him. I just don't agree with
I think
him.
You're a good man. It's very good talking to you, Josh. I think you're a good man.
Okay, Josh, hold on for a minute. Jason, the gentleman's going away.
Yeah, it was good talking to you. I appreciate it very much, sir. And, you know, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good, and I really appreciate
I don't agree with you, man.
And I wish you all the best.
I mean, watch. Mom? Hey, Mom.
What?
You look like an old whore.
Oh, stop it.
See?
God, you know what, kid? You're getting all the wrong messages.
That makes me sick.
Yeah, you're getting all the wrong messages, kid.
That's a wonderful way to promote yourself.
God. What did you just say to me?
I said, you can take kid and stick it.
You know, if I was over there, I'd smack that kid. All right, listen, thank you, Josh, very much for your call. I appreciate it, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll get Margaret back on. I want to talk to your mother.
Mom, he wants to talk. What did you say to my...
I said to him, if I was over there, I'd smack him. I wouldn't really. All right?
You don't lay a hand on my son. No.
I wouldn't really, but the temptation would be strong. You know what he just said to me? You can take... I said kid, and he said you can take kid and stick it.
It's a line from Tombstone. God, what a baby.
Oh, what, are you telling me now he's practicing his method acting again? All right, Dr. Ron Turner, I want to get Dr. Turner on here, okay?
No, I don't want to talk to that man. He is mentally unstable. Now, I will not have him talking to my son.
What do you mean mentally unstable? What's that mean?
He's some four-eyed freak from an observatory, isn't he?
Dr. Turner is a teacher, and he also teaches in middle school. And, yeah, he happens to have an astronomy degree in astronomy. So just before we start judging people all over the place, let me get Dr. Ron Turner on the phone here, folks, so we can at least get a little bit of what I would call a, the opposite perspective. Dr. Turner.
Phil, how are you?
Good. We're talking with Margaret Gray. Have you been listening to the conversation?
Well, Phil, yes, I have, and it is unfortunate, I think, when you do hear a young man such as this boy, Delmonico.
His name is Jason J. Delmonico.
Well, okay, his name is Jason J. Delmonico, and I don't understand. Your last name is Gray.
Yes, that is his stage name, and that's what we call him in real life, in the life that he lives when he's not in a movie, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
Do you understand, Phil? In other words, when Jason J. is not being in a movie and he's just being where there's no cameras, we still call him that.
I understand.
What are you hesitating for?
That's what you just said is really weird.
Yeah, what do you mean when he's not in a movie, he's just being where there's no cameras? You mean when he's not working?
Can I ask you to blow your nose? I really, honest to God...
Mr. Henry, I came on the program to say one thing.
I don't want to be ignored. I'm asking you to blow your nose.
I came on the program, Phil, to say one thing.
And I am not going to listen to this man until he blows his nose.
Phil, if I'm interrupted one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do. I won't be responsible.
Well, what does that mean? Okay, I tell you what, Ron. And Margaret, why don't you be quiet for a minute, all right? Now, Ron...
I'm asking nice. Would you blow the nose, please?
If I'm interrupted one more time, I'll go to your home. I'll molest your son.
You dirty, filthy old queer.
And I am not a homosexual. And...
Hold on for a minute. Okay?
You know what? Blow the nose. Your nose or my nose?
If I hear any language, that was the worst exchange between two adults I've ever heard.
I'm sorry.
Well, you had better be sorry, and I will tell you again.
But what you said, Turner, is way overboard.
Oh, I was clowning.
You're clowning, huh? The nose. Get it blown. Get it blown or you blow.
You think you're pretty smart, don't you?
I don't think I'm pretty smart. That's why this is really pathetic. The fact that I'm getting the better of you.
No, you're not getting the better. Phil, I came on your program to say a couple of things. Number one, no child...
The nose. Three noses.
You might as well blow it.
Blow what?
Your nose.
Blow what?
That's usually a question you ask, isn't it?
I want a piece of you now.
No, but you do.
Not the good way, the bad way. I want a piece of you.
You want a piece of me? You can take the whole thing of me.
No, I don't want a piece of you. I want a piece of you, Turner. And what you said to me, and the inference about my son molesting him.
That was the very unfortunate. That was a ridiculous, that was a disgusting comment to make.
I was kidding around. I'm trying to make a point. I'm asking this lady to shut her mouth. I just heard that little boy talking to that fine man, that musician, and trying to make sense out of that kid. I heard you try to make sense out of the kid. All right?
When is that thing under your eyes and above your mouth? When are you going to
go ahead and blow all the snot out of it. Sometime this week?
Hold on for a minute. You know what? I'll show that I'm a bigger man than you. Did you get that?
What?
That I'm a bigger man than you.
Thank you.
No, I said I'm a bigger man than you.
Yeah.
Forget it.
God!
I have a sinus condition. How long will this be? How big is the nose?
How big's the nose?
You know, now you're starting to sound anti-Semitic.
Are you Jewish?
No, not at all. Okay, my nose is blown. Now may I say what I want to say?
Well, if you blew that nose, friend, only you and your nose know it, because...
All right, the man has blown his nose enough. What would you like to say, Ron?
I'd like to say that... Good night. I don't want to say it. Good night.
Did he hang up?
Yes, he did. I don't blame him either. Thank you very much, and good night, Margaret. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back. 877-876-PHIL. Our news and information hour coming up next.
Truth is our
up?
Bitch.
Oh,
the Phil Hendry Show.
Can I stay on some? I'm sorry if I can stay on some more.
No. No. No.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well... Been a long time since we had a Margaret with us for any great length of time, you know, but...
You know, she's talking about her son being all that and a bag of chips. Yeah, she's thinking son and all this. He ain't none of that. You know, just and he sounded like a punk.
Well, he did sound like a punk. He sounded like the perfect punk. And poor Dr. Turner, I think that whole family is crackers, if you want my honest opinion, including Frank, who is the nicest one of the three. You know?
Yeah, Frank's good, except you don't know the difference between a man and a girl.
No, he knows the difference between a man and a woman. He just can't verbalize it properly. There's something wrong with his brain as the result of that. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, but Mr. Gray, who is a longstanding, very, very successful entertainment attorney here in Los Angeles, he's produced a number of successful television shows back in the day, and he's been retired for a long time. But Frank... there's no other way to say it. The man contracted gonorrhea that went untreated, and once he did get it treated, I think it was successful, except there's been this dementia that's occurred.
You go, because he had gonorrhea? You don't know, you say like saying she and you mean he?
Yeah. Gender confusion.
I never heard of that. It sounds pretty far out to me.
Well, it may sound far out to you, bud, but that's the explanation that I got.
Where'd you get it from?
I don't know, bud. There's no reason for me to doubt that. Why would anybody make up something like that? It's the most incredible thing. First of all, it's incredible. Can you imagine how debauched somebody has to have a disease like that and not get it treated until it's too late? And then, when you finally do get it treated, the only residual effect is the fact that you're calling women he. I mean, that's... You got to admit, you know.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what you're laughing at, man. That's creepy.
Yeah, it's pretty spooky.
Are you kidding me? That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. So this dude, he's got gonorrhea. They are able to, you know, they're able to arrest it or somehow treat it. And the only thing that they weren't able to fix is the fact that he calls men she and women he. I don't know. I find that very amusing. Well, welcome back here, guys, to our Phil Hendry Show Tuesday night thing. It's not really, we don't call it that, but we do have a short week, if you'll pardon the expression, and that means that tonight and tomorrow night. And then, of course, we will be back with you on Monday as well. In years past, we have attempted to do some special things on Thanksgiving. I don't know if we'll do that this year or not, but nonetheless, you know, it is a Thanksgiving week, and you know, for what it's worth, we wish you the best, and we hope you have a good Thanksgiving. And what were you saying, Bud? I should tell people what I was talking about in the pre-show.
Yeah, that's pretty. What you were talking about on the video cast?
Well, on our video cast, which we start about we actually start the video cast an hour before our radio show, so that our people who are watching video are watching our Phil TV. They watch us prepping the show. They see me screaming and yelling about stuff that isn't getting done right. They watch me turning into a complete jackball in front of their very eyes. they see me stressing and they see me losing all the hair that I have lost. So I was actually holding forth on Thanksgiving, right?
Well, you were saying that you don't do turkey or nothing.
Well, it isn't that I don't do turkey. But here's my philosophy with holidays, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I think that this is the most sensible approach to holidays. I really honestly do. It depends on the person, though. It depends on who you are and what you've done with your life. In my life, I've spent a lot of time doing for other people. I have spent a lot of time working for other people and taking care of people and paying for other people and just doing, answering a lot of bells, you know? What was that song? One Less Bell to Answer. Do you remember that one, Bud?
No, that's like way, way before I was born, maybe?
Well, you know, you're right. Well, there was a song called One Less Bell to Answer.
What was it about?
About one less bell to answer.
Oh.
So, when I finally had all these bells that I ain't got to, you know, answer anymore, you know, I was talking to friends of mine. They said, look, you know, why don't you just do whatever you want to do, man? Do you really want to sit down and have bird on Thanksgiving? I said, no. Frankly, because I'm on this diet, you know, I'm on this whey protein diet. The only meat protein I get, it's fish. I mean, I eat salmon morning, noon, and night. And you know what? I never thought I would like seafood as much as I like salmon. Man, I love it, you know?
Yeah, well, you're cooking it up pretty good, though, man.
Well, I do a lot of different things with it, you know? Sometimes I'll put it on the barbecue and poach it. Sometimes throw it in the pan with a little tiny bit of oil. But, you know, you try to make it good, and yeah. But the last thing I want is turkey, mashed potato. It ain't going to happen, man. It ain't going to happen, okay? It's not going to happen. I don't like carrying all this weight. I've carried it long enough, and I am not going to carry it anymore. I'm getting rid of this weight, and that's all there is to it. So I'm not going to have a big Thanksgiving dinner, and I don't need that scene. I don't know.
What do you mean, need that scene, man? What do you think? What do you, like, make the scene like a beatnik or some kind of a deal?
What do you mean, what?
But you trying to make the scene like a beatnik.
What do you mean, make the scene like a beatnik? Would you?
That's what it sounds like.
I'm talking about I just don't want to be sitting down at a Thanksgiving table with a whole lot of nice, polite talk, all right? So, what are holidays for? A holiday is for you to relax. Or maybe a holiday is for you to do for your kids or do for your wife or do for your husband. I can certainly understand that, too. For Phil Hendry, what this holiday is going to be for me is I'm going to sit on my ass and do nothing. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean sitting on my ass and doing nothing, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And one of the things that I want to do, and this is real exciting, this is sexy as hell, I want to sleep, man.
Sleep?
Sleep. S-L-E-E-P, sleep. I'm working till 2 o'clock every morning. I'm out of bed bright and early for some new emergency or problem. I'm working all afternoon on that. Then maybe if I'm lucky, I get myself an hour's nap or something. Then I'm back to work. Yeah, sleep and watch football.
What about, you know what?
Sex? What's that? Where is that? What does that entail? What is that about? Is that, you mean women?
Yeah.
What do I do with those? I'm sorry. I'm so inexperienced at that kind of thing that I shudder to think.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Well, welcome here, and final hour of our show here on this beautiful, now Wednesday morning here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And it is our news and information hour. I just want to direct your attention to, we got a screenshot sent to us by Elise 56, who's one of our BSPs. And it is a picture of me in the new Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. If you haven't seen the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, I got to tell you, it's a beautiful thing. Here is a picture of it right there. That's on our website. If you're watching on Phil TV in HD, if you're not, that's too bad. No, I'm kidding. I shouldn't say that. Here is a picture of it. And the lady with the corn dog going into her face in the back is Bud.
That's Michelle Bachmann.
Exactly. And I like to think that she's endorsing that hoodie because, you know, it's all she can do. The next best thing is to just sink a corn dog, you know.
Yeah, it looked like she's sailing that one in, man.
All right, just take it easy. We don't want to be that crude.
You brought it up.
Maybe I brought it up, but now I'm ending it. So please, by all means, visit our website and pick up the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, which is a part of a great website. I mean, we have, it's a great shop, and we've got all kinds of things there for the Phil Hendry fan in your neighborhood. So by all means, check it out and see if you can't find something for somebody in your family. For instance, we have the not only the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, we have our Phil Hendry Show shot glass, the Phil Hendry Show coffee mug, the official Phil Hendry Show t-shirt, our ball caps, and a collection of our archived CDs as well. And coming soon to our website will be downloads of some of our great bits from the legacy years, as we call them. And that will be available for archive on our website. Excuse me, that will be available for download, individual bits for download on our website as well, as we continue to, you know, make our state-of-the-art website. And we, you know, look, it's a work in progress. But if I dare you to visit any other radio show website and find the amount of material, I dare you to go to any other radio show's website and find as much radio and find as much funny radio. I mean, just flat out funny ass radio. You won't, guaranteed. So all the more reason to get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. All right, Black Friday. God, if I hear more about Black Friday, man. If I hear more about Black Friday, I'm going to burn a cross on the front lawn of Black Friday.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Man, you know what? I may be black, but that was funny.
Thank you. You may be black, but that was funny, huh?
That was good.
I'm not kidding you. I get it about Black Friday, and I know that you want to sell on Black Friday, and I know that you need to have Black Thursday now. And why do you call it that anyway, man? I thought it was a really great day. I thought Black Friday and Black Thursday and Black...
Black like me.
I thought all of that was good. I thought it was a day where a lot of shoppers came into your store, and I thought that a lot of people would come. I understand that there were mob scenes and people got killed, but what's a couple of dead people when you're fighting for your very existence, when you're trying to keep your store on the map, when you're trying to get as many customers in the door and sell all of that marvelous stuff that you sell from China and Taiwan and all that cheap junk that you guys get in from God knows where, Thailand, India, crap, and more crap. And because it's El Cheapo, people line up like cattle, and they bust down doors, and they break in windows, and they kick in back doors, and they beat up the dog. And they come into the store, and they go to all the bargain bins and all that cheap junk that you have hanging there on the hangers there in the ladies' department and the little kids' department, the little girls' department and the bigger kids' department and the big boys and the bad boys and the little boys' department. And you walk out of there with your arms full of garbage, and you think you've got yourself a deal, huh? All right. Fair enough. Far be it from me to judge.
Yeah, all you did was just judge. You're just judging people left and right there.
Well, like I said, far be it for me to do it, but I wound up doing it anyway.
Yeah, couldn't help yourself.
Right. Retailers are working overtime to lure Black Friday shoppers with more bargains, longer hours, and intense promotions. And once secretive about blowout deals, retail chains are instead spreading the word earlier than ever, hoping to entice shoppers away from competitors at the mall and online. Brick-and-mortar retailers such as Walmart stores and Best Buy Company have unveiled Black Friday deals weeks before the day after Thanksgiving. Some chains have promoted pre-Black Friday deals and pushed online bargains. And to carry the momentum past Friday, many will be rolling out fresh deals into the weekend. And see, folks, beat the whole Black Friday thing. Shop at the Phil Hendry Show shop. Go to our online store. God, it couldn't be easier. It'll be nice and relaxing. You can get all of your... If you've got some weird-ass comedy fan in your family... If you got a Phil Hendry fan in your family, he doesn't shut up about our show. I know. I've heard the stories. Go to our website. Go to our shop. Buy there. That's taken care of. You see, at least that headache is done for you. See what we're doing for you? Then you can go out and you can get in that mob of people and push and shove and sweat and butt in and fart all the way to the front so that you can get some 16th generation copy of a Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan the Barbarian. I don't know what the hell it is, you know.
Yeah, you know those, man. I didn't get original on that.
Huh?
I don't even understand what you just said, man. I think if they have any more of those, I'd like to get a copy.
Whoa, really? Well.
Well, you said.
I was using it as an example of crap. Anyway, According to Greg Ahern, Chief Marketing Officer at Toys R Us Incorporated in the U.S., our strategy is offering more savings than ever before on Black Friday. Well, there's a strategy for you. We'll have something for everybody and something for everyone's budget. Hordes. Hey, by the way, not for nothing, but the Republican debate tonight, featured a discussion on foreign affairs, and it featured an exchange between the moderators and Rick Perry, and the moderators and Michelle Bachmann, and at times Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, and the moderators, which I believe one of them was our very good close personal friend who we've never met, Wolf Blitzer. Now, it's a very insidious thing, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. Rick Perry is standing there, and if they were Democrats, I'd say the same thing, so don't worry. It's not, this has got nothing to do with the ideology, and if the Democrats were up there debating this stuff, I'd be ripping them an ass, too. Unfortunately, the Republicans are the guys that are looking to get back in the White House because they lost it to the Democrats in 2008. And now they're the guys that are up for grabs. They're the guys that got to prove their point. And that's just the way it is. Now, when Perry stood there and they asked him about the security concerns vis-a-vis the Pakistan, and he was very much against, you know, cozying up to the Pakistanis, giving them any money, didn't want to give them any money. They haven't proven anything. We can't trust them. They're this, they're that, they're this. That sounds very hard line, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess what his solution was? Almost, it's so insidious that no one even remotely took him to task. He said, now, what we can do is we can introduce the Pakistani people to the benefits of democracy. And we can, for instance, through American companies and corporations, we can incentivize our relationship that way. And, really? Are you talking about Governor Perry? And I know you must not be talking about this, but I think you were. Are you talking about American companies relocating in Pakistan? Are you talking about getting a nice, cozy relationship going with the Pakistanis by way of employing more of them in American companies? Next thing you know, outsource. Yes. In other words, dude, another bunch of jobs going to another country, this time Pakistan. Rick Perry, a conservative Republican, he's talking this stuff. And I'm not saying I'm not saying anything other than this. When it comes to foreign affairs, all of a sudden you're having a conversation with people who forget what their domestic policy is. And now you got a guy who's a conservative Republican. He's talking about how, I know what we can do here. We can, incentivize the relationship with the Pakistanis. American corporations, in other words, going overseas, taking some more jobs. We got a decision to make here, man. We can't afford it anymore. We can't. We got to pull back and we got to take care of our country. We got the Chinese who want a piece of the Pacific in a big way. The same way that, not the way the Japanese did, but the Chinese want to park their Navy in the Pacific in a very preeminent way. They want to basically say, hi, we're China. And guess, see all this water here? Well, this is our geopolitical influence now. Thank you very much, America. It's been great knowing you. You've been in Japan for, 60 years? Get your ass out of here. This is not your area. This has got nothing to do with American geopolitical interest. Well, yes, it does, because you see, we had... Well, guess what? Those days are over now. This is China here. This is the newly empowered Chinese. We got your money. We got a great economy. We got a navy. We got a military. We kick some ass, and we're here to stay. Now, I know that the temptation is to stick our fingers in the Chinese faces, go chest to chest with them, and tell them what a bunch of badasses we are. We can't do it! We ain't got the money. We haven't got the time. We haven't got... Forget it. Same thing with Pakistan. I never thought I'd hear myself say this, but I think it's time to pull it back to the borders, man.
You're talking about being isolationized and everything.
Isolationized, huh?
Yeah.
Well, if that's what being isolationized is, then yes, that's what I am. That's what I'm talking about.
You're just like, what's-his-face, Ron Paul.
No, Ron Paul. There's no bread. How does Obama say our goals in the Pacific remain the same, even though we're flat on our ass broke? Are you high? How does Perry get up there and the rest of these jackasses get up there and talk about, you know, being hard asses with Pakistan? We haven't got a pot to throw it out of, And the American companies that you're so freely talking about going over there, Perry, who the hell are they? And where do you get off sending more jobs over there so you can so we can groove with the Pakistanis? Stick it, man. Just based on that exchange alone, you don't sound too bright to me. Based on that exchange alone, I wouldn't vote for Perry if he was the only guy running in a million-dollar purse race at Hollywood Park.
Guy?
Well, you know.
You'd have to be on a horse, right?
Yeah, he'd have to be on the only jockey. I'm sorry, I messed that up.
Yeah, but what?
Will you shut up? All right, coming back here on the Phil Henry Show. Sorry. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show. We didn't talk about that. Oh, I don't want to talk about that woman. What the hell is the story with that woman that killed her kids yesterday? Four little kids, man. This lady shot these kids because her boyfriend was going to leave her or some such nonsense. Anyway, that and more on the Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It's a bitch.
Phil Henry Show.
Well, this was a story that was actually from yesterday, but we'll read you a little bit of it here because we didn't get to it yesterday. And this is not an unusual story. This is what we are dealing with now, okay? This is not something where we should be clucking our tongues and going, "Oh my God." No, this is life. This is how it is. Now, I'm not saying that this is the norm. I'm just saying these are stories that we've heard so often that we should not become. Let's dispense with the shock and start doing something about it. This mother who went on the shooting rampage. You heard about this, right?
Yeah.
And she wounds her quote jilted lover, whatever that means. Who was jilting who? I don't know. Then hunting down and methodically shooting five children in the head, killing three of them. Her name was Marianne Holder, age 36. She shot six people on Sunday, then turned the gun on herself, killing her sons, as well as an eight-year-old niece. This was in Pleasant Garden, North Carolina. How about that? Now, the sheriff there in Pleasant Garden confirmed the deaths, said that Holder had left two notes at her home, but he would not reveal the contents. Nick Couch, one of the young people who was a friend of one of the killed or the dead children, said, "I can't believe my best friend is gone." His mother, Stacy Couch, had been best friends with Holder for 10 years. This young man, Nick, said that the kid, one of the kids that was killed, Zach Smith, had just spent the night at his house. He had just been at a sleepover. The mother picks him up and kills him. Now, you know, this is all about the human mind. This is nothing more than the human mind. And, of course, we got to get rid of all the simple-minded bastards that still think that this is about incarceration. This is about the brain and how well people deal with the world. See, here's the world we live in. And how well people deal with the world is what you see play out every day. There are people that are very successful. There are people like this woman that are absolutely lost, that are criminal. There are people that are in the middle. And it is, as the saying goes, what it is. I know it's a nauseating expression. It is what it is. I hate it too, folks. But it does at least speak to the reality that here it is. You can't change it. You got to just deal with it. This is life. When we see people who are, what's that thing they were doing in New York, Bud?
Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, Occupy Wall Street. When we see these jackasses doing that, these are people that think that they can actually fundamentally change the reality of life. I understand that there are problems and that laws need to be passed and that banks need to do this and something else and that. But if you think you're going to change human nature, forget it. We're always battling to try to change human nature. So we have at the very high end people that are very successful and make their way through this world, it seems, and they come out smelling like a rose no matter what. They are smart and they know how to play it. But, of course, there is the downside that we don't see. Perhaps they've got cancer. Maybe their kids hate him. Who knows? There's you and I, we're all somewhere in the middle, and then there's this woman who's just a, there's some wiring in her head, man, that just was all wrong. And the only way you deal with any of this stuff, people like this, is by way of getting into that brain and figuring out what the wiring is and correcting it. And you ain't going to do it with jail. You're not going to do it with a shrink couch. Chemicals, medicine, drugs. In critical condition, all with gunshot wounds to the head, or the nephew she was raising, a friend of the nephew's. And more of this story has not come out, said Nick's father, Mark Couch. This is not about a jilted lover or the affair. This was 3 years old. It had come and gone. Talking about the jilted lover. This woman's nuts, I think, is what this guy is saying. She's got problems. Holder's former lover, Randall Scott Randy Lamb, age 40, was the first to be shot. His wounds are not life-threatening. Lamb was not available for comment. This guy got shot in the arm. The children had lived with Holder, a temporary office assistant, since her sister-in-law had died of complications of pneumonia after childbirth. In February, Jennifer Lamb had filed a temporary restraining order against Holder, saying she undermined her reconciliation with her husband, Randy, by calling, texting, and emailing, according to the Greensboro News Record. So, Jennifer Lamb was the ex-wife with this man, Randy, that Holder was seeing. Police said that in July, Holder had a restraining order out on Randy Lamb and his wife, Jennifer, but that had expired. Just the day before the shootings, the Lambs had reached a settlement in a civil lawsuit in which Jennifer Swan Lamb had sued Holder for alienation of affections. According to the police timeline, Lamb and Holder arranged to meet at an aviation center, GTCC's aviation center, around 8:52 a.m. on Sunday morning at the small airport. Holder shot Lamb twice in the arm and elbow, wounding him. He headed back home, calling his wife Jennifer, who in turn called 911. Police were alerted, and after interrogating Jennifer Lamb and identifying Holder as the shooter, they drove to Holder's house, and guess what? They drove to her house waiting for her to show up. Meanwhile, Holder drove to the Couch home to pick up her son, Zach, and he sent a text message to thank the family for letting him spend the night. At 10:11, police spotted Holder's black Ford Explorer on Remora Drive and saw a puff of brown smoke. The officer slammed on his brakes and backed up, and when she approached and comes toward her and shoots herself, according to the police. So the cops saw this suicide. The deputy discovered Zach critically wounded. When police returned to Holder's home to investigate, they found four more victims. Her son Dylan and his girlfriend and the subtle siblings. I don't get it, man.
Yeah, they already talked to this girl.
I don't get it, man. How did these cops miss going to the house and intercepting this woman before she killed all these kids?
Yeah, well, they interrogated this girl, said they went over to a house.
That's what it says. God, I can't stand it when a story is reported. There's just sloppy reporting. It says here police were alerted, and after interrogating Lamb, they drove to Holder's house on Coco Drive, waiting for her to show. Meanwhile, Holder drove to the Couch home to pick up her son, Zach. He sends a text message. The police spot Holder's black Ford Explorer on Remora Drive. They see a puff of brown smoke. The officer slams on his brakes and backs up. When she approaches and comes toward her, she shoots herself. How did these other people get killed inside the home? All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. To the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on our final half hour here on this, well, now Wednesday morning, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along the way here in our news and information hour. What are you looking at, Bud?
Look at the nose of that lady.
What about her nose? Oh, yeah, it is weird. Some lady was chased by cops in Florida. She had her kids in the car, and she's got a funny-looking nose. What do you want me to do about it?
They got a pig snout on her.
I don't know, dude. I don't even want to read the story, okay? I'm not really all that much interested in... I'm getting tired of reading about moms and even dads with kids and whatever their problem is. These poor children. God almighty, what do you do, man? All right, moving on. Here, you know, as long as we're talking about kids, though, but at least it's not some kind of... It's not a murder mystery. It's our good old friend, Mr. Sandusky. Let's get back to something that we're comfortable with. Child abuse!
Hey!
Anyway, this is, I guess we should have expected this one. Calls to state child abuse hotlines soared right after the Penn State child sex abuse scandal broke and then started to drop back down to normal levels. This is like you spotting UFOs, you know?
What do you mean?
Oh, well, I mean, it never fails that if someone sees a UFO, then another guy sees a UFO. And next thing you know, we got about a solid week of people seeing UFOs. The interesting thing about UFOs, by the way, is we don't see them or hear them reported in the numbers that they used to be reported. Like back in the 40s and 50s, people would have these UFO, they'd have UFO on the brain. In the 70s, it happened a lot. The 80s, there was kind of a UFO thing. The UFO, the UFO phenomenon, or you know, became so popular that people, it's turned into a religion. There are people now who it is, you know, it's religious when it's no longer about science. It's just about, no, I believe that there are UFOs. Yes, but we see, if we prove to you that there are no UFOs, will you still believe there's UFOs? Yes, I will. Okay, that's religion. That is not science. No, it is science. No, it's not, man. It's not science if you are ignoring the science. The argument with creationism and evolution. If you were to say to an evolutionist, if we could prove scientifically that creationism actually is the actual, you know, the science, would you believe it? Yes. If you say to a creationist, if we were to prove scientifically that evolution is the actual state of affairs, a creationist would deny it. They'd say, no. There's no way you'd ever prove to one of them that evolution is the actual science, because that's not about science, it's about religion. So here we have now, and this is true in no matter what you want to talk about.
Right, what about child abuse? You're going to tell this guy, like, there's no child abuse at all and they're still going to believe it?
Yeah, there's some people that hold on to things because it's their reason for living in a lot of ways. You know, if you could say, nope, we proved that Jerry Sandusky had nothing whatsoever to do. Didn't happen. This is not, you know, this man has been wronged. There's some people that will still hang on because they invested something more in this than just an interest in justice. They invested something really personal. Like, this isn't about justice. This is about getting justice for yourself. This is about righting some wrong in your own childhood. This is like, we've gone beyond anything here having to do with truth. Like the whole McMartin thing. You know, we talked about the McMartin thing on the air on Saturday night. People who don't know the McMartin case. The McMartin case is probably one that is, I would say, is familiar to a lot of people, but not familiar to a lot of people, because there were people listening to me right now who were born right after it happened. But it was a preschool, it was a daycare preschool in, I believe, Manhattan Beach, here in the Los Angeles area, run by a woman named Virginia McMartin. And she had a son, Raymond Bucky, or a daughter, yeah, and a son-in-law, the Buckies, and these were people who were also teachers, and there were a few others. Well, this was the early 80s, and the early 80s were really a disgusting period in American history. Now, I'm not talking about Ronald Reagan was elected. I mean, a lot of people thought that was great, but the early 80s was, we were still, there was a lot of fallout from the 70s and the stupidity of the 70s, and that was like, if we get rid of the guns, there will be no more violence. Some people want to go back to that right now, and it's so dumb. And it was also a time when child abuse was suddenly in the news, and it was suddenly a very exposed and extremely topical subject. People were getting out there and talking about these things. It was healthy in that way, but it was unhealthy in that there was a hysteria took over. And the McMartin preschool was victimized by this hysteria. I don't really know how it started. You can look it up online. You can get more information. I would suggest that you not just rely on Wikipedia. Do some research, for God's sake. You know,
what's matter with Wikipedia?
First of all, it's not Winklepedia. If you caught it that one more time...
You know what it's called, man?
Well, I mean, what's wrong with it?
I don't like it because it's a so-called online encyclopedia that anybody can add stuff to. You don't know whether you're getting the truth or not, man. I know it says this hasn't been cited and it needs more verification. How many people pay attention to that? Some people actually cite Wikipedia. This is what kills me. Some people cite Wikipedia like it's some really good source. Are you nuts? I've seen people comment, well, according to Wikipedia, well, isn't that just fantastic? You know, you might as well be saying, well, according to the Bhagavad Gita.
What's the Bhagavad Gita?
Never mind. So anyway, somehow it got started that a kid got touched or somehow Raymond, the son-in-law, exposed himself to one of the kids or something along those lines, and thus it began. And in the middle of this increasing and snowballing hysteria, there was some woman out there, I don't know what her name is now, she was an alcoholic, a real slob. She got involved sexually with one of the local TV reporters on this thing. I mean, it really got weird. And this bitch was coming up with all kinds of accusations, one right after the other. And then it got even bigger. And the science of actually interviewing children, the science of actually interviewing small children, and we're talking toddlers now, the behavioral science involved in that, it took a big leap forward as the result of the tragedy, the McMartin case, because by the end of this thing, you had these children saying that they had witnessed satanic. Truly, these are 4 or 5-year-old children said they had witnessed satanic rituals, that they had been forced to dig graves, that they had been forced to see animals sacrificed, that they had this and that. And finally someone said, wait a minute. Oh, there was a whole rush to judgment on this thing, if you want to use that phrase. What do you mean these are 4 and 5-year-old kids, they're digging graves? Are you out of your mind? When were they doing this? Well, in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night? Somehow they're being taken out of their homes in the middle of the night. And they're digging graves. 4 and 5-year-old kids are digging 6-foot-deep holes? I don't think so. And then what animal sacrifice? Where did this take place? Where are the animals? And what do you mean satanic? It was a lynching. It was a lynching because the panicked public and this dirty, filthy woman that was making these accusations and a few of these other people, they should only get cancer. And then this panicked ass that was working for Channel 7, I think, here in Los Angeles, by the end of this thing, the McMartins their name was mud. The Buckies were destroyed. The woman had lost her school. They had lost their reputation. They had been vilified beyond anything you could possibly imagine. I don't really know what became of it. There was a movie of the week made with James Woods as one of the attorneys defending them. But more to the point, I wonder if there was any substantial damage awarded in terms of libel, in terms of slander. I do know that this woman, Mrs. McMartin, who'd given her life to educating very young children, it destroyed her business and her school. It was a tragedy, the likes of which everybody that was involved in contributing to the hysteria and to the slander, every last one of them should have done jail, should have thrown their ass in jail. I think there should be jail time, mandatory jail time for slandering or libeling people. I really do. I think you really got to send a message. But I realize it's a civil thing.
What do you mean by civil?
Well, you're going to sue people, you know.
Yeah. You can't arrest them.
Not really. No, you don't arrest people for lying. If someone defames you, you don't really get a cop to arrest them. You take them to court, you know. But it's such an egregious thing to do that I think you ought to be able to put somebody in jail for it. But that was what happened, you know.
Man, that's bad, man. They are. So you think the same thing going to Sandusky?
No, I'm not. I don't think the same thing's going with Sandusky. Sandusky, there's too much weird stuff going on with him. We've learned a lot, too. We're 20-plus years past the McMartin case, and we've learned, in terms of behaviors, to learn how to interview children. how to talk to them, how to find out, are they fantasizing? Are they? One of the things little children will do is they'll give answers that they think the adult wants to hear. And a lot of different ways you can talk to a small child, you know. Now, they brought, and that's the other thing. They brought some psychologist in to interview these kids. She was a mess, this woman. She was putting ideas into these kids' head. Part of the problem was this psychologist.
What'd she do?
Well, she's talking to these children and going, he touched you, didn't he? All these leading things, you know. And what did, now, when he, did you, you did, you saw his genitals, didn't you? Did you see, uh-huh. And it's okay if he made you touch him, it's okay. So just kind of leading these kids. And, it was disgusting. You know, it was disgusting. And it just, I remember the whole thing, and I got caught up in it. I mean, all I can say in my defense is at least I didn't have a talk show at the time. Good God Almighty, I probably would have been on the air just ranting and raving about these people, because I was reading this stuff, and I was shocked, and I was stunned. And I'm thinking, what the hell? How did these people get away? And gradually, and of course, the satanic stuff. And the day I read, I opened the paper, and I read the remarks of one of the investigators. And it was a psychologist, I think, that also commented. They said, are you serious? How do you get 4 and 5 year old kids to dig 6 foot deep grave sites? And suddenly it was like somebody had hit me with a bucket of water. What the hell have I been reading and believing all these months?
So you're believing in it too, and then you realize you're an idiot.
That's right, bud. I realized I was an idiot.
Well, you did.
Yeah, I did. I did. All I can tell you is thank God, like I said, thank God I didn't have a damn talk show, and I had a, thank God I didn't have the public forum I have now. I get on the air and talk about people who've, you know, just vilified like this. Oh, it was terrible. The worst thing you can call somebody is a child molester, just about. And if it's not true, you never get your reputation back. Never. Never. And we have to guard against that. I mean, if there's one thing, we all have to be on guard and stand with the truth. We can't let our emotions and our hatreds get so out of control that we go ahead and we join a mob. You know, we become a part of a mob, and we basically, you know, in the words of Clarence Thomas, we perform a high-tech lynching on somebody. Which is what Clarence Thomas called it when he was in front of the Senate, you know, when they were nominating him.
What do you call that? What do you mean a high-tech lynching?
Well, they had all this stuff about Clarence Thomas, that he had sexually harassed a woman, and that there was a porn movies that he watched, and there was a pubic hair on a Coke can. And
what?
Yeah, you know.
What porn movie?
No, I heard about that, Long Dong Silver.
Yeah, Long Dong Silver was one of them.
Long Dong Silver. You were probably in it, Robert.
Shut up, man.
Hey. Yeah, and so Clarence Thomas got in front of that committee one day, and he said, this has been nothing more than a high-tech lynching. He was saying all these Democrats, which, by the way, the Democrats have really shown, this so-called liberal or progressive group of Americans, my God, they have shown themselves to be every bit the racist as any other white person over the last number of years, especially when it comes to McCain and when it came to Condoleezza Rice. But I'm kind of sidetracking. Anyway, that was the McMartin story.
Man, that's about the most jacked up thing I ever heard in my life on account of that.
Yeah, but that's not happening with the Sandusky thing. The Sandusky thing, man, there's too much smoke, man. There's got to be some fun. This cat, he ain't even denied the fact that he's showering with these kids. Well, right there, you know.
What do you mean smoke? Then if he showered a kid, he might have touched a kid.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. But right then and there, man, showering with these kids is freaking messed up. And sliding along the floor and all this. Oh, jeez.
You made a good point about sliding on the floor, man. I don't get athlete foot on my butt.
Yeah, that's what you get, too, if you slide on the floor. You get athlete foot in the crack of your...
All right, okay. So we'll take a break and we can think about all those marvelous things that Bud and Robert just said about sliding on the wet floor and getting athlete's foot in your butt. That's great. That's fantastic. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, on the screen there, I believe, is the psychologist. As she was, there's a picture of her, an actual shot of her during the McMartin trial. And this woman was, she was way out of bounds, man, with some of the horse dung that she pulled. And it was eventually, she was exposed for being just, basically putting words in the mouths of these kids. So, I want to protect kids. I mean, everybody does, but you can't do it. It doesn't do the kid any good when you're lying about people. It doesn't do the kid any good when you're going after people that are innocent. There's kids at risk, so let's help the kids that are at risk. Let's not go after people that don't mean kids any harm. So what have we done? We're not protecting kids, and we're destroying people that might have had a hand in helping those kids. Anyway, this is a story here. I mean, just along those lines, though, it says here, Penn State players live by special rules. Did you pull this, Robert?
Yeah, I got that one, because I heard that one coach, Bobby Bowden, you know what he said.
What did Bobby Bowden say?
You heard him, Bud, right?
Yeah, Bobby Bowden said that if you want to have a character check, or he said a dadgum one, I don't know if that's cursing or not.
No, that's not cursing.
He said if you want to have you want to check your character, give somebody power.
Is he talking about Paterno?
Yeah, he's talking about Paterno and the whole Penn State program, because the lady asked, do you think they got too much power? And he said, yeah.
Bobby Bowden did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say, but it sounds like something. Yeah, Bobby Bowden was part of a rival football program at Florida State that was every bit as powerful, every bit as big time, every bit as national championship oriented. Bobby Bowden, I mean, what's the difference between Penn State and Florida State? Nothing, the philosophy of honor, success with honor, it's a very admirable thing. But the fact is that we're looking at something going down at Penn State that may not have much to do with honor. But Bowden, I don't know whether his motives are all that pure.
What do you mean?
I mean, he's being maybe a little competitive. I don't know. But look, Penn State University football players receive special treatment compared to other students when accused of violating school rules, according to the school's ex-chief disciplinarian. Longtime football coach Joe Paterno and then University President Graham Spanier were involved in years of debate that ended in changing the rules for how football players were disciplined, said Vicky Tripony.
What?
Or Tripani, the vice president for student affairs from 2003 to 2007. The consequence of these accommodations put us in the position of treating football players more favorably than other students accused of violating the community standards as defined by the student code of conduct. Her comments dealt another blow to a university and once-storied football program now reeling from allegations of child sexual abuse against a former assistant coach and an alleged cover-up. Former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky faces 40 counts of sexually molesting boys, as you know. The case has stunned the prestigious university. Paterno, the winningest coach in major football history, was fired. The scandal has raised concerns that a culture of special treatment for the football program under Paterno allowed Sandusky's conduct. Spanier and Paterno made, quote, suggestions, requests, and at times demands to change the process or soften punishment for players who had broken rules, said Tripony, who now heads special projects for a nonprofit in Charleston, South Carolina.
She could be lying, too.
Well, not lying, but, you got to take a lot of this stuff with a grain of salt unless somebody can corroborate this stuff. Is somebody going to say something? You say, see, there's another. Well, I don't know, man, because I don't exactly know what her whole situation was. You got to take into consideration, how did she leave that school? And why didn't she bring this stuff up when it was happening? It was a whole bunch of stuff. We'll never know. We'll never know.
All we can do is just keep pushing on and hope for the best.
Exactly, bud. Thank you. Put her there.
I'm not gay.
Get out of here. I'm going to shake your hand. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, Fred Scotty, Dan Northcraft. Don't forget to join us online at philhenryshow.com. Our live streaming video of each and every show and our podcast tomorrow will be available tomorrow morning. Get a backstage pass. You are missing out if you don't have one. And of course, for the Phil fan in your house, visit our shop at philhenryshow.com and get yourself stocked up on the hoodies and the cups and the shot glasses and the CDs and like that. Until tonight, This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.